Hey there, my friend. It's Trisha Carr. Real quick before we head into this episode, I just want to make sure that you know about Modern Mystic Life, a subscription service for spiritual mentoring and education. The monthly subscription is only $11.11 per month. We have regular support and inspiration delivered with the utmost ease right into your text messenger 2 to 4 times per week. You can use your mobile device or your desktop messenger to access the lessons and meditations, a monthly MP3 download of a produced meditation, at least once per month live meditation led by me. There is no account login, and we have a monthly live class workshop. These are usually $35 for non-subscribers, so it is quite a deal. And the community is amazing. This is a way for you to support the Charmed Life podcast and also a way for us to be able to work more closely together. So do check out how you can subscribe in the show notes. I hope to see you there. Hello and welcome to the Charmed Life podcast. This podcast is all about magic, metaphysics, mysticism, and the unconditional love of the universe, and I am your host. My name is Trisha Carr. This episode, I want to kind of say that I guarantee, which is a strong word to say, I guarantee it will blow your mind. This is a conversation episode, and mostly it is me learning from my guest about this incredible technology, spiritual technology, if I may call it that, ancient spiritual technology. And we're going to dig right in with it because I want you to be immersed in this world. This guest is named Dr. Q Moyad. He is the founder of the Indian Palm Leaf Reading Institute. I'll say that again, Indian Palm Leaf Reading Institute. It's not palm reading, it's palm leaf reading, which he's going to explain all of it to us. So as the founder of the first Nadi Reading / Astrology Institute in the West, the Indian Palm Leaf Reading Institute, NADI is this word, Nadi Reading or Astrology, Nadi Astrology Reading, that's actually its original or translated from its original language. And Dr. Q has called the Western Institute of it, he's named it the Indian Palm Leaf Reading. And that will be explained all throughout the episode. He really takes us deep into this layered and incredible process. So just a little bit, Dr. Q has faced various challenges, which he shares with us in his life, including, you know, having cancer from ages 16 to 19. And all of this led him along his current spiritual journey to spread Nadi astrology to the West. It's really incredible. I'm super excited about it. So I'm going to let you enjoy this conversation, and I'm going to give you an update at the end. So I will chat with you on the other side. I'm very excited to learn all about Dr. Q. So welcome to the podcast, Dr. Q. It's so nice to have you.
Thank you very much, Trisha. Thank you very much for having me on the Charmed Life podcast. My name is Dr. Q, and I'm the founder of the Indian Palm Leaf Reading Institute.
Really Thank cool, yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm so excited. You got to tell us all about your journey and this work that you're doing. I know I think it's a quite complex topic, so let us know. Start wherever you like and let us know this magical art that you are shining.
Thank you very much. Like everyone else, I have challenges too. We all got challenges. We're here in life to just learn and grow. My biggest challenge in life has always been health. So I've been in hospital more than most. Mm. I know that. So, and that's in hindsight got me on the trajectory of trying to pierce the veil and see what's beyond what we can see and comprehend. A little bit about me so that you understand why a white guy is doing something that is intrinsically Southern Indian, not just mm-hmm. Indian in general, it's Southern Indian, because what we do is based out of Tamil Nadu, and Tamil Nadu is the southernmost state in India. It's a big state, and if we have California audience, it is kind of like California. It's elongated. It's at the coast, on the east coast of India. With one big difference, it has 85 million people in that one state alone. And Tamil people who live in that state are very different to the rest of India. So to all of India, Tamil Nadu is almost like going to a foreign country. As they don't speak Hindi like most of the rest of the nation, they only speak Tamil. So even as an Indian, when you visit Tamil Nadu, you are like a foreigner, because the only way to communicate with them is either speaking Tamil, because they don't speak Hindi, or utilize the global universal language called English, or rather Hinglish, with a heavy accent, Indian accent. So that is a little bit about the state where all of that happens. So my own journey, so that you understand a little bit more about me. My mom's Austrian. She's European, blonde and blue-eyed, and my dad's Persian. So I grew up in Iran, and some of you might be mature enough in the audience to remember that 79, there was a revolution and we had to flee the country. I grew up as a kid of a wealthy man, but since my father was not a Muslim, they're Baha'is, and Baha'is were persecuted, killed, tortured, sent into prison. So in 79, we had to flee the country. So overnight, from a golden spoon in my mouth to being a pauper, because my mom became the breadwinner. As refugees, we fled to Austria. So I know how it feels to be very wealthy with servants, and I also know how it feels to have no money at all. And then from 79 onwards, we're in Vienna, Austria, which is in Central Europe. And some of you might also be mature enough to remember 1986, the biggest nuclear catastrophe that has happened till this date, and that is called Chernobyl. If you haven't heard of it, then please watch a Netflix series. It's quite disturbing, though, I must say. It was in April of 86. The nuclear cloud traveled for about 1,000 kilometers or more and dumped its waste, nuclear waste, over Central Europe. And many, me, way before Dr. Q became Dr. Q, living there, got cancer because of the beautiful nuclear fallout. Mm. And I battled with cancer from 16 to 19 for 3 years, and I was in hospital for 6 months plus as an inpatient, and 1,000 needles up my veins. I'm telling you, it was not fun at all. So at 16, when I was diagnosed with cancer, I thought to myself, God, why me? I mean, I'm a kid. I haven't done anything to deserve this. And then I saw people die, and I saw people die in the revolution too in 1979. I was 8 years at the time. So seeing people die and then being released at age 19, I said, again, God, why me? How come I survived and some of the poor buggers that I shared the room with did not? And that is what put me on the trajectory of just trying to figure out what's out there, because I know there is a lot bigger picture than we're able to see and comprehend. Of course, I had to pursue a regular career too, and I would have studied medicine because most of my folks are in the medical field, but 3 years in hospital cured me for good to ever set foot in a hospital again. So I became an academic. So Dr. Q is not a stage name. It is actually hard-earned PhD. But academic career was also very boring to me, I must admit. I love teaching kids. I really did love that part a lot. But 80% of it is just nonsense, you know, red tape that goes on behind the scenes. And that wasn't for me. So I started a travel business out of Washington, D.C. So I pursued a regular career. But in the meantime, I continued my own spiritual journey. And I've been helping for 30 years, I guess, a lot of people doing it. I've been to John of God several times. I've been to the shamans in the Amazon several times. I've done Reiki healing, you name it, all of it. I'm very open to all of that. But then 10 years ago, given my weak health, I caught a virus which almost killed me again. So I ended up in the ICU at myocarditis, which means inflamed heart muscle, water in my heart sac, pneumonia, water in my lungs. And I almost died. So I was lucky. Really lucky that I walked into the hospital, into the cancer hospital, because at the time I lived in Budapest, as I met a lady from Hungary. So I moved from DC to Budapest, and I lived there, and I still live there, by the way. She told me, Q, it doesn't look good. You better go back to your cancer hospital, which is only 3 hours away, even though it's a different country altogether, and have yourself checked out. And they told me, Dr. Moed, you're lucky that you're alive. You stay here. And I collapsed that day. Had she not put me on a train to go back to Vienna, I'd be dead now. And when I was in the ICU, I thought to myself, man, oh man, this is just crazy. I'm in hospital more than most people. And that is when I connected the dots. It has to do with karma. Because this lifetime, I'm a helper, really. I don't do crazy things. I volunteer a lot. I give as much as I can. Money is not a big thing for me. And then my girlfriend said, you know, you can do a palmate reading. And I said, what's that? He said, well, you go to India, they will find a leaf for you that was written for you thousands of years ago by a sage, and then you can have your karma cleaned. So I said, okay, if I survive, if I come out of here, then I'll go on a search for my leaf. And that is the beginning of this journey that we're going to talk about today. I thought it was just important for you to understand who I am and why I'm doing what I'm doing. So the reading obviously blew my mind. And I'm saying this not easily, because I've done a lot of things. Believe me, I've done more spiritual things than most people, simply because I want to know. And when the reader told me my life story, and in a by sentence, he said, "Oh, and by the way, you're going to bring this to the West." I thought he's kidding me, because I'm a white guy. You know, I love Indian food. I do. I meditate every day. I go to yoga for 30 years, but I'm not Indian. And yet here I am talking to you 10 years later. So allow me to explain you the whole process in a few minutes, so that you at least have a bit of an understanding of what the whole thing is all about. Give or take 3,000 years ago, there is no written records of any of this. So it's by word of mouth only. Sages in India called Maharishi. Maharishi means great sage. Sat down in meditation and were able to tap into the Akashic records and download information, a guidebook, if you wish, for souls to be accessed whenever they're ready to get the information. And for you, because we are on video here, I brought you a picture of the main 18 Maharishis. And the guy in the center is called Agastyar. He was more than just a sage. He was a poet, a scientist. You name it, he's the most famous one of them. There were hundreds of them, but 18 we deem to be the main ones. And then they wrote down the message for the souls on something they had in abundance, because 3,000 years ago there was no paper, obviously. So they utilized palm trees and their leaves. Mm-hmm. Unlike the palm trees here in California, they're really big leaves, very, very big leaves, and you cut them into slices of maybe 10, 15 inches and about an inch or two wide. And that is when they etched the information with a sharp tool on the fresh leaf. Mm. And when it dried up, you could then see the message come through. So perfectly biodegradable, not wasting anything, the environment. So now we have palm trees, we have etching the things into it, no ink used at all. And then in order to preserve these brittle leaves, they put them into books or bundles, and in order to protect them, they just use the bark of a palm tree on both sides, and they created books. And similar souls, if you wish, travel together in a book.
Yeah,
you're not related to the other leaves that they represent, but you are in a. You share one thing in common, and that is your thumbprint category name, which I will talk about too, because it's the secret to all of that lies in your thumbprint. Now, again, you're going to look at it. 3,000 years ago, people couldn't read or write. So how can you help a person to find their message? Well, the most unique thing that we have is our thumbprint, right? Mm-hmm. So that is how they were able to connect your leaf with you, the soul that you're in this lifetime. And people that have the same thumbprint category name, that is, and there are 108 different category names, and 108 is a holy number in Hinduism. What we do has nothing to do with Hinduism. You need to know that too. It's not a religious act at all. But again, you got to think 2,000-3,000 years ago, these rishis only knew of Hinduism, of course. So they utilized the power of the Hindu gods that they knew to be able to tap into the Akashic records. But it has nothing to do really with religion at all. So they connected your leaf with your thumbprint, put similar ones into a bundle or book. And now today they're stored in archives, for the most part, in southern India, in a state called Tamil Nadu. And when you think of an archive, you think of temperature-controlled, air conditioning, security guards, water dispenser, and all the rest of it. Well, for those of you who have not been to India, it's a different universe altogether. To them, an archive is a dingy little back room in somebody's house. That is an archive. And for the most part, that's just the reality of it. And for the most part, I would say 95% plus of all the archives are run by families in their private home. There are some state-run, Tamil Nadu being a state similar to the United States, a state and a state government. There, some of them are run by municipalities. That's true, and I've been to all of them in Tamil Nadu. But the vast majority of bundles or books are kept in private homes in little archives. And there are hundreds, if not thousands of them, a lot. There is no register of any kind. There is no computer system involved. So we do not know where bundles are. It's just India, and I call it disorganized chaos. And yet it still works. So that is where these bundles are today. And they've been passed on from generation to generation. And that is how they've been preserved. Of course, an actual leaf cannot survive 2,000-3,000 years. So what readers do and priests do, they copy them over onto new leaves. Similar to monks in Europe, when they copied over old books to new books in order to help preserve them over the centuries. So that's the same system, give or take. How many leaves are there? God knows. Millions. We have no idea. How many bundles, hence books, are there? God knows. Millions, if you wish. And each book or bundle, and I brought one for you, Tricia, to see. This is a book or bundle.
Mm,
it's about 10, 15 inches long.
Mm-hmm.
And it has individual leaves in it. The maximum number is 108 that it carries. Most of the time, it's way less than 108 because over time, you know, they disintegrate. You lose some of them. Or they're taken out because their lifetime is over. They are not here for any other soul to be given to. So usually it's 40 to 60, give or take, that we have in a bundle. Now, how to find it? It's a three-step process. Three steps. Whether you do it with our institute or you go to India, makes no difference. You would need to submit your thumbprint. Ladies left, gents right. That has to do with Hinduism and karma. So you go to the reader's office. If you're in India, you submit your thumbprint. He knows your gender. And it's a gender of birth, by the way. So if you change your gender during your lifetime, it's fine. But you need to submit it as your gender of birth. Then you put down your country of birth. And then the reader looks at your thumbprint and identifies your category name. Literally, he looks through a magnifying glass. And then he identifies your thumbprint name. And with that, he goes on a physical search for a book that hopefully contains your individual leaf. And when I say physical search, I mean a physical search. Walking from one archive to the next, using his bicycle, using his moped, hopping on a public bus, because these archives are all over the place. And if it's too far away, well, these days, of course, we would call an agent in a different municipality altogether and say, hey, we need a bundle or book that has the leaves for this thumbprint category in it. Whether you're male or female, doesn't matter. They're all in one bundle. So that's the search part. Hence, you got to be a little patient because it takes a while to find your bundle. Can it happen that it happens in one day? Of course. But the average search time, at least with our institute, is 6 to 16 weeks. So you got to be a little patient. It's a physical act. Just having to remind everyone and repeat it so that people understand. You cannot call us every day saying, is my leaf found yet? No, it hasn't. But when it's there, we will let you know. So once the search part comes to an end, the reader finds a couple bundles which he believes contain your individual leaf, because there are thousands, I mean, maybe even tens of thousands of bundles that have your category name. He doesn't pull any. He looks, he finds the one that he believes contains yours. So they're somehow connected to a higher power, to God, and through that.
Mm-hmm.
They cannot tell me either. It's like, I don't know, you know, I look at it and I think that should be one, and then they pull it out. Yeah, that's just the reality of it. I've been doing it for 10 years now. And so he will bring the bundle back to the office. And if you're in India, you will walk into the office. And again, office is exaggerated, if I may say so. It's, again, a hole in the wall, little thing. And sometimes I get calls from people or emails saying, oh, it will be something romantic doing it in person, India. Well, I've been to India. It's far from being romantic because it's a small room, hot as hell, humid as hell, if you wish. And then they use a lot of incense. And me having had cancer and chemotherapy for a long time, I'm very, very sensitive to any substance. So when the guy lit his 20 incense sticks, I thought I'm lying right there on the spot. And then you got the mosquitoes and all the rest of it. And then you're cramped. And then you're sitting in front of a table of the reader explaining you everything. With us, we do it, of course, online, because the reason why we started it, there are quite a few reasons for that. But one of them is to just provide a service that's ethical and authentic from the comfort of your home. You don't have to travel to India anymore. So then the step two and step three happen in person, if you wish, or with us on Zoom. Step two will be matching of your leaf, and step three would be the reading itself. Now, matching means that we find your leaf within the book that I just showed you. And for you, Tricia, I can open up the book so that you have a better understanding of how the leaves look. You see, they're individual leaves, and they are in this little book, okay?
Yeah.
And they have writings on them.
Really beautiful.
Yes, it is. So a little bit about the leaves, too. The leaves are written in ancient Tamil. It doesn't exist anymore. It's known as Granta, and Granta is the oldest written language in the world, which pisses off all the Sanskrit people because the Tamils say our language is older. Of course, there's academic fighting over that. Let's just agree it's a very old language, and today it doesn't exist anymore. Today people speak modern Tamil. It's kind of like ancient Greek and modern Greek. A modern Greek person does not read, understand, communicate in ancient Greek. They have to go into university and study it. So the same thing happens with the reader. He needs to understand, study, and learn ancient Tamil. Modern Tamil roots in ancient Tamil, but it's a different language, if you wish. So it's written in a dead language too. It's written as a poem, not in prose. It would be super awesome if it said, "This thief belongs to Tricia." It's not that simple. It's a poem, and it's delivered to you also in a sing-song, which the reader has to learn how to do it. It's dum-ba-dum-ba-dum-ba-dum-ba-dum-ba-dum, because the way he delivers it to you, it has healing faculties in the sound, okay?
Right.
So that's that. And then it's delivered in, it's written down in symbols, in a symbolic way. That's the only way to compress so much information about the human on a small leaf. And last but not least, just for the fun of it, Tamil is a syllabic language, which means sound-based language, kind of like Chinese Mandarin, unlike all the Western languages that are letter-based, A, B, C, D. So it's quite a feat, quite a task to convert the message on a leaf to us and be able to deliver the message to us. Hence, it takes the reader up to 7 years of full-time study to become a fully-fledged reader, because not only does he need to learn ancient Tamil, he needs to know all of Vedic astrology, all of it. So he's a fully-fledged Vedic astrologist on top of it, which is Indian astrology. The real name of Vedic astrology is Indian astrology or Hindu astrology. In the 70s, they came up with this hip name called Vedic astrology, because at the time in the 70s in the West, Ayurveda became hip. And that's why they connected it to Ayurveda. He is an Ayurvedic practitioner. He needs to understand Ayurveda too, because in the leaf, there might be some information about what you should and should not eat. Gemology, numerology, you name it. It's quite something for a reader to become a reader. And the reason why I go a little bit more into detail about that is you got to be careful, because as sad and sorry as I am, but 80% of all the readers down there are fake. They have no idea what they're talking about. And what they do, they just go for a quick buck. And it's not just us Westerners going there. They will do the same to other Indians, because they're foreigners to them too, because they don't understand a single word they're saying. So you got to be very, very careful who you trust your journey with. So that will be a little bit about the reader and the leaf itself. So matching means the reader goes through your through the book, through each leaf step by step in order to find your individual leaf. And he reads out statements to you, not questions, statements. For example, you are married, because this leaf, as being the most important information on that leaf as a first statement, states the person who this leaf belongs to is a married person. And then you would answer yes or no. Very simple, only yes, no, right, wrong, correct, incorrect. Never more than that. That's also important for me to tell you, because the reader is not interested in that. It has no impact on finding your leaf or not. So let's say you're going through divorce when you have the matching, and then the leaf says you are married. You will need to say yes, but no need to say, yes, I'm married, but I'm going through divorce. You know, it's of no importance. So that's only yes, no answers. As long as you say yes to a statement, these are not questions, statements, then he stays on the same leaf. If you say no, well, then that is not your leaf, and he goes to the next one. In a successful matching, when you keep saying yes to all the statements, boom, all of a sudden he starts rattling off your first name, your mother's first name, your father's first name, your date of birth, your time of birth, your week of birth, your partner's name, X. That's important for me to tell you too, because some say, oh my God, the bugger is on my leaf. I divorced him a long time ago, and yet he's there. Kids, how many you have, gender, siblings, how many you have gender. It blows your mind, I'm telling you. The reader, one more time, only knows your thumbprint. That's it. That's all he knows. And then all of that.
And the literal name of my parents?
The literal name of your parents, great.
In my language, the literal name of my parents.
So imagine me, you know, me 10 years ago, the reader has no clue who I am. He's like, bum, ba-dum, ba-dum, ba-dum. You have parents from two separate continents. Unbelievable. Yes, my parents are from two separate different continents altogether. Bum, ba-dum, ba-dum. Siavash. My father's name is Siavash. Holy moly, I guarantee you, he's never heard that name in his life before. Is my dad's Persian. And I'm bum, ba-dum, ba-dum, Gisela. My mom's name is Gisela. And I guarantee you, he's never heard that name before too. And now that we've been doing it for so many years and had thousands upon thousands of readings, we have Norwegian names or Japanese names or God knows, and still, I don't know, whatever the name might be. They get it pretty close too, you know, so that you're, oh, wow. Don't forget, it's a dead language written as a poem in symbols, and it's a syllabic language on top of it. So there is no letters at all. They need to know which directions to take to leave. And all of a sudden, boom, it all unfolds. Trisha, you're like, oh, my God. So you know it's you. It's mind-blowing. It was mind-blowing to me. Having got so many people over the years, I know it's mind-blowing to them too. So then you know it's you. And the reason why the rishis 3,000 years ago did all that is to make sure that you embrace the fact that this is your leaf, because you're the only one who can verify it. And please, guys out there, don't tell me, oh, we're Googling you in the background or we do some security check on you. Man, there is not enough money involved for one. Two, my readers, if you don't even have a bathroom that you flush at home, I guarantee you that's the very last thing they're worried about, to Google anyone on anything. We don't care about that. So if you don't trust the process, then don't do it. That's just what I can say. I'm just here to make it easy for you. So that's the matching. So you know it's you. And then the reading happens. So the search happens.
Yes, sorry, ma'am. Can I ask? Sure. So as they find the leaf, just this example of my parents' names, is it written on the leaf or is it being downloaded from the Akashic moment?
It's written on the leaf. It's on the leaf. Yes.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's written as a symbol. The reader just needs to know which direction to take the symbol.
Mm-hmm.
Do you understand? Otherwise, there is no way he can connect it with you. And because you say yes to, I don't know, your parents are alive, or yes, I have one brother, then he can understand, okay, that's how to decode the code and give you, boom, the message. Otherwise, there would be no writing at all. It's symbols in a dead language on top of it, as a poem. Mm-hmm. I'm just telling you, it's mind-blowing that still, and then once they decoded it, he can underline your name. And if you know Tamil and then ancient Tamil, you can actually say, yeah, that's true. This sound can be converted as a T. This sound can be converted as an R, as an I, as a C, as an I, as an A. So it's Trisha. Correct. Mm-hmm. You can afterwards. But when you just look at the leaf, you only say symbols. You're like, oh, okay. Yeah. So you need some sort of a code to be able to tap into it and then bring out the real message to us. Very complex, I'm telling you. It's not an easy thing at all. And yet, the readers that we have in our family, they've done 20, 30,000 readings over their lifetime. And they're way beyond us. I'm telling you, they're humans. They're just very evolved. Let's put it that way. Very evolved humans. Very humble, very kind, loving humans. They're here to help. And that's part of also of my journey, why I'm doing what I'm doing. But we can talk about that once we've completed the three-step process. The reading itself then is what we do is so-called whole life reading. That means it covers all aspects of life. And it starts with the moment you get the reading done until there is no more writing on the leaf, which could mean the end of your life, but not necessarily. Allow me to point out, a reading is here to help you create a better life trajectory for yourself, whatever better means to you. That is the purpose of a reading, helping you. Your life is not set in stone. No one's life is set in stone. If that were the case, then we would all be just puppets, and I refuse believing in that. I believe that I have a free will and that I have choice. The reading is meant to be a guideline, if you wish, a blueprint, a compass, a map for you, so that you can navigate your ship in the direction that you want, so that when you then look back, you say, oh, I created a better life trajectory for myself because of the reading. So it's a guideline. It's here to help you. Now, whether you embrace it or not is up to you, because you got free will and choice. That's just the way it is. So what the rishis can do is they can show you the water, whether you drink from it or not.
Mm-hmm.
Is up to you. So that is so it comes in a trajectory. So the reader looks at your leaf, and based on three aspects, that would be your overall energies at the time of the reading, not your mood. Whether you had your morning coffee or not makes no difference. Whether you had a fight with your husband or not makes no difference. That would be your mood, your overall energies. And according to our system, your energies shift every 6 months. Hence, it can be that you have a bundle, a book in a 6 month period or not. So you need to know that. And then two, it's based on your thumbprint category name. Your thumbprint category name is the only thing you cannot change in a reading. It is your genetic imprint. It's your baseline. It explains your soul beautifully, I'm telling you. And we explain your thumbprint name in your reading in detail. And then when you know your thumbprint name, you will say, oh my God, now I understand why things are the way they are. And they are, a thumbprint name explains your life in brackets, if you wish, in a quarter of your life, a third of your life. So that means three parts of your life or four parts of your life or just two parts of your life. But if you look at it from a greater perspective and we explain you the deeper meaning of it, then you will understand why things are the way they are. And last but not least, of course, on Vedic astrology, because the stars have an impact on us. So these three, so two of them are, they change. One of them does not change. The reader then decodes the leaf for you and gives you a possible, a likely life trajectory from the moment you get the reading until there is no more writing on the leaf. And it comes in blocks of years, increments of years, 2-3 year increments. And it covers all aspects of life. That means all aspects that are important to human being, family life, kids, grandchildren, health, spirituality, money, career, education, you name it, all of it. And he tells you the good, the bad, and the ugly. Now, it's a raw reading. It's not sugar-coated. You know, Indians do not sugar-coat because some people out there already had a reading with, you know, whatever they did in the West, and it's sugar-coated. In there, it's not. So you got to be aware of that too. It's here to help you to grow so that if it's good, then it means there is a good period for X, whatever X might be in your life. Write a book, move, change careers, expand your business, find a partner, have a child, whatever. So that's a period. Whether you utilize it or not is, again, up to you. The reader can only tell you that's a good period to do whatever. And if it's bad or ugly, I keep saying it's a blessing in disguise. Embrace it with all your heart because now you know that you have a block in a certain part of your life. Because up until now, you also had blocks and you were kind of like a blind person wandering through a forest and hitting a tree once in a while and have no idea why you hit a tree. Well, because you're blind and you're in a forest. That's why it happens. But now we tell you the block. And for each and every block identified in your reading, at the very end of your reading, you get a puja reading. Puja reading means remedy. We help you to overcome the blocks because in our belief system, there is no need to suffer from a block until for the entirety of your life. You can overcome it. You can, and that's the reason why a reading is here to help you create a better life trajectory for yourself. That's again, in one sentence, why a reading is good for anyone. Then they can tell you what the block is rooted in. It could be a planetary block. It could be a karmic block. So if you bring with you from a past life a strong negative karma, it's only strong negative because small negative karma we can fix through our good deeds that we do this lifetime. We can fix it. And good karma does not need any healing. So enjoy it. It's a good ride for you. So enjoy it. But strong negative karma, because, you know, I have to explain that too because sometimes people think karma is just negative. It's not. It's all of it. A strong negative karma needs some additional help. So at the end of the reading, the reader will say, yes, I can see you carry karma from a previous life, strong one that is. And if that's the case, you get a karmic reading. That means a past life reading where the reader tells you who you were, your gender, your social status, the country, the year you lived in, and what you did to now be stuck in this cycle. For me, health. I'm bringing it back again to me because I'm very open about my own experience. So in my first reading, the reader said, oh, 77 to 79, I get a heart attack and die. Now, don't forget, I went there because I just had survived a major heart issue. So for the reader to tell me heart attack, I was blown away because I did not tell him that I just came out of the ICU with a major heart issue. So if you ask me what would be in the top three reasons I think I'm going to die, it's like a heart issue. Chemotherapy, you know, impacted it. Radiation therapy impacted it. You know, the... You name it. So, and then on top of it, the virus. So I have a weak heart. But he said, it's karmic. You can do something about it. He gave me a whole list of pujas. And we'll talk about the pujas too, which literally translated means prayer ceremony or ceremonial act. And then it can help you overcome it. Now, in order for me to be able to, and you get a puja for every single block identified in your reading. And believe it or not, we all have a lot of blocks. More than you might think. And again, it's a raw reading and it's here to help you. So I can only encourage you, embrace every single block identified with an open heart and say, thank you, Lord, because now I know it's a blessing in disguise. It really is.
And we will be right back. Intuitive Healing Arts Academy is now live to support you in your spiritual awakening and life purpose. With two signature programs, Animal Communication and Multidimensional Mediumship, to advance your psychic curiosities and natural talents into intuitive skills. In addition to Animal Communication and Multidimensional Mediumship, we frequently have other spiritual courses and workshops to take you from spiritual awakening to spiritual entrepreneur and all you're seeking in between. Empath empowerment, intuitive development, energy healing, channeling development, human design for your clients, meditation leadership, and content marketing for your spiritual business. All of these and more. Find out what we're enrolling now by checking the show notes. And thank you for shining your light on our beautiful world. And now back to the show.
So, as I said in the beginning, the secret in all of this lies in your thumbprint. That's the secret. It's the key to your leaf. But the magic, if you wish, the power in all of this lies in the pujas. So we do all of this, you know, the surge and the matching and then the reading to end up finally at the puja section, which is the last chapter of your leaf, for the reader to tell you, okay, we identified all these blocks for you and now here's your homework. We call it in Hinduism, puja again is not a religious act. You got to think of it through historical glasses, if you wish. 2,000-3,000 years ago, the Maharishis only knew Hinduism. They didn't even know there is a world outside of their little state called Tamil Nadu, and that's the reason why they connected it to Hinduism. But it doesn't interfere with your belief system. It really doesn't. It's just here to help you. So the pujas, literally translated, meaning healing ceremony or ceremonial act, but in Western terminology, because I primarily deal with Western people, and I've been helping people now for quite many, many years, just look at it as an energy shifting exercise. That's what it is, an energy shifting exercise. Like all the other things that we do in life, meditate is an energy shifting exercise. Going and pray in church or temple is an energy shifting exercise. That's what it is. So puja is also an energy shifting exercise. If we can agree on the fact that everything in life is just energy, it manifests itself in different shapes and forms. It manifests as you, Tricia, as me, as our conversation, as the computer that I'm utilizing today, as light and so forth, all of it. And if there is a flow to it, it's a perfect sine curve. You know, it just flows. And that, if I may utilize sine as the perfect wavelength. And if something is not working in your life, if you have a block, then the sine curve is not a sine curve anymore. It is screwed up, you know. And the more whacked up it is, the more you have a block in whatever area of your life. And you all out there know where you have your issues. Relationship issue, money issue, career issue, being lost in the world issue. You know, the big question, why the hell am I here? All these things. Then if it's not a sine curve, well, then something is off. So what a puja does, it helps you bring back the flow of a sine curve. And the closer you get to that flow, the easier you can breathe and the more you attract the energies that you desire. And once you start shifting from the not so wanted energies to the energies that you want that are closer to the sine curve, of course, you start creating a different reality for yourself. And again, we are the only ones that can create the reality that we experience. Very important, because your life is not set in stone. We create it through our thoughts, actions, non-actions too, believe it or not, because if we don't do something, it's still something that is going to be created for us, whether we want it or not. So a puja is here to help you in that direction, so that ultimately you can create a better life trajectory for yourself. Then these pujas come either in the shape and form of a mantra. Hinduism is a very literal belief system, if you wish. It has no book like the Bible or so, or Quran. It's just a system. There is no book people follow. And for each block or each part of your life, there is a god or goddess. So it's very connected. Ganesha, most people might know of Ganesha. That's the guy with the elephant trunk. That person's job is to help overcome blocks. He's like a general block remover. Murugan, his younger brother, is meant to help with relationships. I'm just giving you some examples. Or Guru Dakshinamurti is here to help with issues with children. You name it, you know, Shiva, his wife Parvati for family issues and so forth. So then you have a mantra dedicated to a god or goddess, and then you would sit in front of it and recite that mantra with all your heart. That's the important part. Forget about focusing on how to correctly pronounce the words. They're a waste of your time. It's your heart that's important, your intention as you do them. Now, in order to understand the big power of pujas, if I may tap into Yogananda. Yogananda, Paramahansa Yogananda, maybe you've heard of him. He wrote the autobiography of a yogi, and there's a big Yogananda centers here in California too, because it was just at one of their expos over the weekend. He wrote a phenomenal book called The Autobiography of a Yogi. And in this book, he indirectly really explains what a puja is. Because when he was a kid, he had several gurus throughout his lifetime. But when he was about 14, I think, he had a guru who could heal people. So this guru would go to villages across India and heal people from the worst possible ailments. Leprosy, you know, it's a terrible disease, highly infectious too. Cancer, you name it. So people would line up and he would just look at them and heal them. But he would give every single person comes for healing a crazy homework. Crazy. Like, you now carry this raw egg in your left pocket for the next 3 weeks. Or you only drink milk with your right hand for the next 5 weeks, something like that. So then I remember, you know, I read the book a few times, but it's some time ago. So I'm just using my own words the way I remember it. So little Paramahansa looks up at his guru and says, Guru, I don't understand. What the hell are you doing here? You know, I know you can heal him. You know you can heal him. So why do you give him this crazy homework? You know, why should he carry an egg in his left pocket? So his guru answers and saying, well, my son, he says, I know I can heal him, and you do too, because I've seen that, but they don't. They come to me, they get a blessing from me, and then they go home, and that's the end of it. But what I give them is like something to focus their intention on. So for a poor Indian person, 100 and some years ago, carry an egg in his pocket, in his left pocket, mind you, making sure that it doesn't crack for a couple weeks, he really has to focus on that. You know, he has to be very careful. And if indeed, for the time period of 2-3 weeks, as he does so, then he shows the universe that yes, I really want healing. And then the universe helps you too. So the same thing with the pujas that we do at home. If you don't take your pujas seriously and follow verbatim exactly as prescribed to you, because the book, your leaf tells you exactly what to do, and you say, yes, I take it on board and I do exactly as I'm told because I want change, I'm worthy of it, then the universe will help you. If you say, yeah, whatever, you know, it's I only do it because somebody tells me to do it, or you're not believing it, or you don't even do it at all. Well, then why should the universe help you? That's as simple as that. You got to do something to deserve help. And the universe helps. I assure you that. And I think I'm living proof. I should be long dead, really. That we survived the revolution to begin with is a miracle. Cancer is a miracle. My heart issue is a miracle. And yet here I am. And so that's the power of the whole reading, is the pujas. You got to do it. And most pujas, and you can be given some physical act too, not just the mantra. It could be like in my case, when I had my first reading, he told me, feed the needy. You know, feed the needy. I was like, what should I do? Should I do a soup kitchen? Should I donate some money? And I remember the reader saying, oh, you figure it out. It's like, oh my God. So, you know, I was stressing because at that time I had met a girl from Hungary. So I moved to Hungary. I'm not Hungarian. I don't speak Hungarian. I don't know anyone there. So I'm now in Budapest, the capital city, and I'm sweating because you must follow verbatim exactly as prescribed to you. You cannot move things around. On that specific day, you gotta do it. And so 2 Wednesdays were coming up and I was sweating it because I don't know anyone there. And then the night before, it dawned on me, said, you know what? I've been observing a lady in the cafe that I used to go to, who in my, I thought, has no money or not a lot of money. So on that Wednesday, I told the waiter, I'm going to pay for her lunch. Just don't tell her. So I, in my world, I fed the needy. So, yeah. And I'm telling you, that was a beautiful, beautiful experience for me as the giver, because I saw her when she wanted to pay. And the waiter said, no, I don't speak Hungarian, but I could see how they were interacting. And she was looking around and I told him, don't tell her that it was me. And I was observing that and I could see how her face was lit up about something, a gift that she didn't expect at all. Mm-hmm. The week after, because I had to do two Wednesdays, I walked into a different place, different cafe, and I had a couple in front of me. They were fighting. I didn't understand what they were saying because they spoke Hungarian, but I could tell they were fighting, you know, it was bad energies. So I stepped ahead and paid for their coffee. Boom. It changed their energies within a second. They looked at me, they thought I'm a crazy stranger, and yet they had a smile on their face. So I helped them shift their energies. So whoever's out there, pay forward, guys. It's a beautiful experience. So ever since that time, I randomly pay somebody a coffee where I think they need it, you know? Yeah. And it's $5, it's $2, it's nothing, I'm telling you. But what you do with that act, oh my God, you change somebody's life, maybe forever. So that is hence a physical act that you might need to do too, and you will figure it out. You will. Yeah. I figured it out. So if I can do it, you will do it too. It's not such a big deal. Now, why am I doing what I'm doing? Again, looking back 10 years ago when the reader said, oh, and by the way, you're going to bring this to the West. Of course, I thought it's nonsense. I'm not an Indian at all. I've been to India, of course, many, many, many times, but it's not me at all. I don't even speak the language, even though I've been there many times. It's just too difficult. And believe me, I know several languages very well, but Tamil is very different to all of them. And so is Hungarian, by the way. So I said no, but the reading was so impactful to me that I shared my experience, like I share with you now too, even though I've been on many, many shows, I'm still very enthusiastic about what I do. So people wanted to get a reading done too, you know, friends, family, mom, and so forth. And I said, cool, let's book a flight and go to India. And that's when I realized that nobody goes to India. The vast majority of Western people, to them, India is a no-go zone. Period. Mm-hmm. That's just the way it is. So 95% of people, when you see India, it's like, oh no, I will never go there. It's too hot, too spicy food, too dirty, too poor, too whatever it might be. They just don't want to go. They will not go. To some people, of course, India is a big magnet. They want to live there, go to ashrams, you name it. But the vast majority, hell no. I realize that. And I'm a traveler. I've been to over 100 countries. So to me, travel comes naturally. And that's when I realized, oh, if I really want to help them, then I thought maybe we can do it online. So, you know, Skype in the old days, 10 years ago. Yeah. I said, can we do Skype? And the reader said, sure. So then started doing a Skype call just, you know, for friends and family. And then I had to sit in every single call too, because the reader usually doesn't speak English at all. So they only speak Tamil and know how to read the leaf. So we need to have an interpreter. An interpreter then interprets Tamil to English, or rather Hinglish. That means with a heavy accent, Indian English, which many people have a hard time understanding. So I was sitting in all the calls to then retranslate into more understandable English. And not only that, but also explain the power of the reading. Because if it's your first, or even if it's your 10th experience, and if there is no guy telling you what does it actually mean in Western terminology, you might just miss a big chunk of the power of the reading. So I helped them all to understand, oh my God, this beautiful reading that you have. Forget about all the blocks that he told you. Embrace it as a blessing, you know, all these things. And then over time, they referred their friends and their friends and so forth. And then after a while, I said, oh my God, this is more than just me helping out a bunch of my friends and my family. Even my old mom, you know, with a reading in the old days, because she's too old and she cannot fly. There is no way she can fly that long. So that's when we then put it into a legal framework in the United States as an institute. And now I do this work free of charge, my friends out there. I don't make any money with it myself. I donate money, so because we've grown and grown. And at that time, I told my readers, and I have a real job. I have a real job, which is very tough. It's not easy at all. And I do this now on the side, which is another full-time job because it has grown tremendously. And I can't do this work with all my heart. So I work 7 days a week, really, to do both somehow. Don't ask me how I do it. I'm near heart attack. I burn my candle on all four ends, if you wish. Somebody told me that. So now we support the readers because we found highly ethical, educated, wonderful souls. And they're all really educated outside of the work that they do. One of them has a master's in business, in engineering. But we lose them. You know, the real ones, we lose. Because after a while, they say, well, our status in our town is going down over, you know, the past several decades. Because up to maybe 50 years ago, a reader was like the shaman of a tribe. In Native American tribe,
right.
But now India has changed so much. You know, India is a very fast changing nation, and so the jobs are in IT, call centers, production, you name it. So they go and make a lot more money doing a different job. So at that time, I said, "Look, guys, I'm going to support you out of my own pocket, which I have for a long, long time, so that you can continue doing what you're called for to do in this lifetime. Don't leave, stay." So now we've grown our family a little bit. So our work helps them and their families, because every Indian has a wife and several kids. And now we have to have interpreters. Everyone has a family too. And on top of it, and that's the reason why I said I was in every reading myself, we have a moderator, a Western person I trained myself. The three people in every reading that help you through your process, the Western moderator, if you wish, holds your hand from the beginning till the very end, making sure that you not only understand the interpreter, but understand the beautiful journey called your reading. That's what we do. And now that we've grown more and more, we are supporting the local orphanage as well. I know the husband and wife that support 80 in-house people, some of them severely physically and mentally disabled, and yet they run a beautiful, beautiful, tight ship. It's clean, it's safe, and when I saw them a few years ago, loved them, and so now we support. So every single reading helps me help others. So you are helping people by not only getting help for yourself, but also help maintaining this ancient and powerful wisdom. And at the moment, one, but I'm sure we're going to add more orphanages as we go. At the moment, we're also in the process of creating a foundation per se. So that with a mission and all the rest of it. But of course, we have to grow to the size to be able to really do the work in the legal framework that we would like to do. And as you know, everything costs money. It's not so cheap, regrettably. So, but we're doing all that. So I'm very happy. I'm very grateful that I'm allowed to be here and share the story of palm leaf readings with you. By the way, palm leaf reading, Indian palm leaf reading, that's the term that I created, because I realized in the West, nobody knows what it is. Because in India, nobody calls it Indian palm leaf reading. They call it Nadi reading or Nadi astrology, among other terms. And Nadi might be of interest to you too. Nadi means leaf. Mm-hmm. Nadi means seeker. You will be a seeker seeking the information on a leaf. And Nadi means pulse, you know, life, pulse. Mm. But Nadi also means the exact moment in time when the message is divulged to the seeker. Not a day before, not a day later. Hence, it will happen exactly at the right time, at the right moment, when your message is given to you. And that's the reason why the reading starts with the day you get the reading, not a day before that, not a day after that. So that is a little bringing it to a closure. Cost, maybe, if you wish, $100 would cost the search for the bundles with us. So you put $100 down, then you submit your thumbprints, and then the search will start. And you've got to be patient, please. Don't bombard us with emails. It takes on average 6 to 16 weeks to get your to find your bundles. If you have a calling, then there is a bundle, period. I know so. Mm-hmm. And if there is a bundle, there's guaranteed a leaf for you too. Might not be the first matching, might be a second matching, but there is a leaf. So if you find a bundle, you can rest assured there is a leaf for you. Then once we find bundles, you can then pay the balance of $400. So it's $100 for the search, $400 for the reading. And then you can on Zoom, in our calendar, find a time that suits you. We do reading 7 days a week, bar some big holidays that we have, not only in the West, but also in India. During Diwali, which is the Indian Christmas, if you wish, there is no way you can do anything. The noise is just mind-blowing. So we have a few days off, of course we do. Christmas, you know, naturally. But apart from that, it's 300 and, I don't know, 50 days a year, something like that. So we offer readings 7 days a week. And it's two set times. It's for me important to share with you. Two set times, which beats you flying to India. I'm telling you this also. Our calendar is based on East Coast time. So it's 6:45 a.m. East Coast time, which is 3:45 a.m. California time,
yeah,
or 12:45 a.m. East Coast time, New York time, which makes it 9:45 p.m. California time or Pacific time in general. So if you're in California then or on the West Coast, you would most likely choose 9:45 p.m. Mm-hmm. But we have a lot of early risers that do 3:45 a.m. because then it's quiet and then they have privacy. It's not that we want to be a pain to you. It's we have to deal with a global audience. We've got Australians, New Zealanders, South Africans, whoever gets the meetings all over Europe. But it's the big time difference with India. It's huge. So that you understand, it's 10 hours, I think, and 13 hours East and West Coast. It's a lot. And we have to overcome that and still make my readers to be within a doable time frame to do their work. We have several readings a day, of course, but these are the two set times. So thank you for your understanding that has to be the way it is, at least for now, and we will see what happens in the future.
Amazing. I'm sold. I'm like, I want to sign off of this because I want to go do it. I mean, it's going to be 16 weeks. No, this is amazing, Dr. Q. Just mind-blowing. I have a few questions.
Sure.
As you said, your energy, you know, it's shifting about every 6 months.
6 months,
and so. So would that mean you would get another reading or would your palm leaf change?
You can. Absolutely, you can. Your thumbprint never changes.
So your palm leaf ever change?
Well, there are 18 Maharishis, you know, 18 of them. Uh-huh. And then I personally had two readings in my lifetime, two. The very first one that put me on this trajectory, where it was told that I will die between 77 and 79, but I was given a puja. And then 3 years after that, and that's maybe also mind-blowing for you to realize. So my second reading, different reader, different Maharishi, he said, oh, you have the gift of longevity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was where I was leading. That was my next question, was, did it change yours?
You know, you can create a better life trajectory for yourself. So he could reach till 82, but he couldn't tell me the brackets where I'm passing on. So he said, oh, gift of longevity. It could be 82 in a day, or it could be 99. He does not know.
Yeah.
And again, I do not know if living longer is a blessing or not, because I've been in a lot of pain.
Exactly.
So, and I'm in pain right now too, but you cannot see it. It's my energies that... make me shine, hopefully, also when you talk to me and see it. But I've been in more pain than you can possibly imagine. I was stiff, you know. After 10 years ago, I couldn't move at all. It took me years to crack open my body again in very, very painful therapies. That was one thing. But the second thing, which might be even more fascinating, because it blew my mind, I must admit, is I'm sitting across from the reader who now is our chief reader in our institute, Guruji's name. He's looking at the leaf, then he looks at me, and he looks at the leaf again, looks at me, because it was beyond his capacity of understanding what the leaf was telling him. He said, you are doing this. He said, you are doing this. It blew his mind, because he saw a white guy sitting in front of him doing what is intrinsically a Southern Indian thing, and he's never seen, there are no women that do it, it's only male, and only Southern Indians, you know? Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, there is a foreigner, a white guy, and the leaf says, oh, he's involved in Nadi astrology. And so he looked at me flabbergasted, saying, you're doing this? I said, well, because at that time, we already had the institute, the legal framework for the institute. I said, well, I cannot do it myself, but I created a framework so people can get a reading done without having to come to India. It blew his mind, you know? But he's now our chief reader. I love him. Guruji is a phenomenal human being. 30,000 readings. Amazing. And all the others are Swamis. So that you know, too, it takes 7 years to become a reader. And there is no reader school you can go to. There isn't. You can go to school and sign up for that. You need to find yourself a guru. Mm-hmm. And by the way, guru has many, many meanings. But I fear that it's been misused in the West a lot, the term guru. The way that my readers tell me, a guru is... literally translated, one of the meanings would be a teacher with original thought.
An academic, because an academic is not just someone who studies, but it's someone who contributes.
Correct. Yes. So that's a guru,
or a scholar,
Because before that, you become, so a reader becomes a fully fledged reader after many, many years of studying under his guru, and then the guru says, yes, you're ready, you can now be a reader. And then he works as a reader for 10 years or so, a long time, until his peers say, oh, you're not just a reader, you're now a Swami, a Swamiji, which means an advanced reader. A Swami is also a teacher, okay? And then he now is an advanced reader, a senior reader for many years again, until his peers say, oh, you're not a Swami anymore, you're a Guru, you're Guruji. Mm-hmm. So that is the lineage. So in our, usually in a setting, you can only have one Guru, and all of our other readers are Swamis, but one Swami is already considered a guru, but out of respect to Guruji, he's not accepting it.
Right.
Yeah, it's quite amazing, I should say. So that is a little bit about the reader and their journey of becoming a guru and a reader. So yes, to answer your question, you can have many readings in your life. You can. Over time, you will see change. I know for sure that in our institute, we had many people with three readings already, two, three readings, and one with six readings. You can check back in, because there are some eager people. You know, they're just eager. They want to get a reading done all the time. I keep telling them, look, hold your horses for a little bit.
Yeah.
Do your pujas. Right. Allow the energies to take full force and have an impact on your life. But if after you've done your pujas, and you could be prescribed one in India too, which is called the mantra puja, which is different to your own home-based pujas that are called temple pujas, then excuse me, I need to drink some.
Sure.
Then have that done for you, and if a year after you've had your reading done, you've done all your pujas, because your pujas will take time. It would take 6 to 9 months, you know, 5 to 8 months, depending on how many you were prescribed. And you got to follow them verbatim. A circle of 6 Thursdays in a row, and then a circle of 9 Saturdays in a row, and then a circle of whatever. So you got to do them one after another. You cannot do them all at the same time, all the same week. No, one after another. So it takes time to get them all done. And if indeed you see change and you have a calling for it, then do one again. As I did, I had a calling for a second one. because my life had dramatically changed because I started the institute, and I was curious. I must admit too, I was curious. What, is there a change or not? And of course, there's a big change. So yes, you can have several readings in your life. Of course you can. Then you can see how things progress in your life over time.
And now this isn't a, this is a question that's like an outlier, but what if there is a scar or, you know, if the thumbprint, what if a person, if a person's missing a thumb, if I didn't have a left thumb, is there
we
any?
Use your right. Then we use
okay.
your right thumb.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I see. And then if there's a scar on my left, or let's say if it were burned and so the thumbprint had been dramatically changed.
If there is no, if we cannot get an impression of the thumb that represents your gender, then we would submit the opposite. But we need to let the reader know it's a female, but submitting the right thumb so that they can reverse it and find the one that's for you. So it's very important that he knows your gender matching with your thumbprint. We can do the opposite thumb, we can, but the reader needs to know that. That's very important. And if you have no thumbs at all, we can utilize your other fingers. It's just a little more complicated. It can be done, even if you don't have thumbs, or you have thumbs, but you cannot produce any impressions. Then it's also important, this is not a past life reading. Your Maharishis wrote you a message for this incarnation to help you create a better life for yourself after the reading. So do not try to access your past. You only get a past life reading if you have strong negative karma. Mm-hmm. We go back one lifetime and then you know why things are the way they are. Mm-hmm. We cannot help you if you do not know the names of your parents. So if you were adopted and you do not know your biological parents, then we cannot help you. We cannot help you find them either. It's important for me to tell you these things because sometimes people want to have, oh, can you find my parents for me? No, we cannot. We can only identify you if you at least know one biological parent's name, one of them at least. And we cannot help you either if you do not know your date of birth at all. Like you do not know anything. If you do not know the time of birth, that's doable, even though the reader does not need to know it up front, but he has to verify it on the leaf. That's why. If he reads out to you, on the leaf it says you're born on this day and you have no clue, how can you then verify that it is you? That's the reason why. So you need to know a few things about your life so that we can help you, okay? And be prepared that the reader might tell you things that you do not know yourself. For example, you have a sister and you're like, no, I don't have a sister. And before you know it, you ask one of your parents, oh, yeah, sorry, we do have, but we give them away for adoption or you know, died or something. That can happen, absolutely. And that blows your mind, you know?
So you answer that statement, no, but it's just because you don't know.
Because you don't know, correct.
But then how would the reader then
he still goes back,
forward, not to change the palm?
Which everything else matches, you know, depending on if everything else matches, but you have a sister. You know, and you say no. So well, but it says you have a sister, and then over time, of course, the reader knows. Over now, we know as moderators, we will then tell you, well, everything's matching, and it says you have a sister. So maybe you want to check with your parents.
Yeah, or there could have been a miscarriage, or there could have been a miscarriage,
or abortion, or I don't know, whatever,
stillbirth, or something. Yeah.
So and they didn't share it with you. And also because we've had it quite several times, and it's quite a shock to parents.
Well, and my family has had. This pattern of revealing after people are like 40, 50 years old. Oh, that's not really your father. Like we have this terrible pattern.
Oh my God.
People not knowing who the real parent is. It's so, you never know.
You never know. Yeah, it's true.
Yeah. That's really, oh my gosh. Actually along those lines. So would it include, like if it said you have a sister and you have a sister by adoption, would that be something that it sees, or is it just about
bloodlines?
Okay.
Well, a reading also, maybe we can, since we're talking about that, a reading is here to help you and your nucleus family. That means parents, partner, siblings, children, possibly grandchildren. That's your nucleus family.
Yeah.
So it's not about your aunt or your uncle. Right. It's not about your pet dog or cat. Because sometimes people say, oh, can you tell me? No, it's not. It's written for you. Mm-hmm. And as we go along your timeline, and it comes in your age brackets, 42 to 45, 46 to 48, you know, something like that. And what along your timeline, if there is something of importance that might happen for a sibling, a partner, a child, or parents, they will let you know. So let's say you're 55 to 58. The reader might say, oh, this is a danger time for your mother. which means she has to be careful because that might be the time frame where she passes on, for example. And then if a major thing is given, then the reader will give you homework, pujas, to either help with reducing the block for your mother in this particular example, or you can help her that the transition is painless.
Right.
The reader says, sorry, what you can do this puja to just make it the transition easy. Right. Then you can already embrace the fact that at some point you got to let go of mama. Mm-hmm. I was told it in my reading too, when my mom will be passing on. So obviously, so so you will be given helpful information for the nucleus family, but of course not, it's not their reading, it's your reading.
Right.
Because they're important to you, there will be some information about them. If they want to know more about themselves, well, then they need to get a reading themselves. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Understood.
Yeah.
Well, this is really just so incredible. And you're still doing the puja where you're feeding the needy, because you are actually,
yes,
you know, doing it as a charity from yourself, and you're helping the Swami and Gurus, the readers, to be able to do their calling, their spiritual work. So that's beautiful. And
thank you.
I'm so excited about this. Seriously, I can't wait. I'm going to get a reading, and I'm going to report on it. Do you want to follow up or something like that after I get my reading?
Would you be interested in that? I can highly recommend this, actually. Yes.
It would be very good,
because then you have your own personal experience to share about the whole process. It will be an honor to be your moderator myself.
Oh, cool.
Which I do not do often anymore, because I just don't have the time. So I apologize to everyone out there. Everyone wants Dr. Q to be the moderator. I cannot do it. It's just a time thing. I'm exhausted. I have a lot to do. It's the reality of it. You know, my constant travels, shows, expos, talks, going to India all the time. I cannot do it. I travel too much. Yeah. But a few, you know, and for folks out there who are listening on this, you don't have to be VIP. You know, randomly, I do readings still, a few, because I love everyone the same way.
Sure.
It makes no difference if I know you or not. I'm here to help you as best as I can. And the best way I can help you is by training my moderators so they can do the work that we're destined to do to help you. And I train every single one of them. That takes a lot of time, I'm telling you, to explain them everything about a reading. It's not an easy thing either, because, you know, you come aboard, you're interested, because a lot of people who had readings with us say, oh, I love that. Can I be a moderator for you? And then we got to actually then tell them what it all entails. And then they realize, oh my God, there is so much more behind the scenes than during the 3-4 hours of matching and reading that you're exposed to. It would be an honor. Of course it would be. Thank you.
Wonderful.
For allowing me. Mm-hmm.
This is so incredible. So of course, everyone, all of the information about the Institute are in the show notes. And Dr. Q, thank you for the work that you're doing on our beautiful world.
You're welcome.
And thank you for being on the podcast. This has been really mind-blowing and incredible.
Thank you. The honor is all mine. I forgot to say, it's indianpalmleafreading.com. That's how you can find our website, indianpalmleafreading.com. Facebook, Indian Palmleaf Reading. YouTube, Indian Palmleaf Reading Institute. You can watch full matching and readings on YouTube.
Cool.
Some of our seekers were so kind to give us permission to put the whole thing, the good, the bad, and the ugly, on YouTube, and you can get to see how it all works. So
I'm one of those. I'm like, yeah, talk about all of it. It's fine. So that's wonderful. Okay, good. How
thank
exciting.
You.
So we're all going to rush to the YouTube channel right afterward now too.
Yes, please do so.
Well, thank you again, Dr. Q. This has been amazing.
Namaste. Thank you. Bye-bye.
I'm going to get a reading and they're going to see my parents' names written on a palm leaf. I don't know how long ago, possibly 1,000 years ago. Wow. As soon as I finish recording this, I am going to get my reading going. Now, what I said at the intro there, that I'm going to give you an update. Dr. Q and I chatted after we finished recording, and we are going to record my reading and publish it on the YouTube channel. That's our plan. So we're going to set that up, and that will be amazing. But I'm seriously so excited. I think the rest of my evening is going to be spent watching the readings that are posted on the YouTube channel, because I just think witnessing other people having this expanding experience is going to be expanding for me too. You know, I love watching videos where people talk about their near-death experiences, or really actually death experiences, and they come back. And, you know, so this isn't exactly that, but I'm super excited about it. And I actually think it's affordable for what it offers. He said, yeah, I love that he gave us the cost to 100 down, then 400 is the balance, so 500. But you know what I mean? Like, that's usually something like a QHHT session, quantum healing hypnosis technique, or something that is a package of having past life regression therapy and, you know, life between life, things that are really as huge as this. What's a life reading? I think that's really affordable. And, you know, while that's a relative statement, it's not always affordable for everyone, but it still is as a, you know, as an offering, it's pretty wonderful. So anyway, just check out the show, you know, check out the show notes. You can find it by remembering that it's Indian Palm Leaf Reading Institute, and it's some form of that. But of course, we have the links in the description. And when I get my reading, and I will definitely do a follow-up either on my own or with Dr. Q, and we will point you to where that, when the YouTube video is published. I'm just super excited. So I hope you enjoyed this episode, and I will be in touch with you again very soon, as usual. More conversations, more possibly solo episodes. Be sure to sign up for the newsletter so you can stay on top of everything. And that's what I have for you in this episode. Thanks for tuning in. I love you, whoever you are.